can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
This is your, Don, this is your new paradigm.
Paradigm
is a plan, is a pattern. This is your new plan?
No.
We've got a guest coming up after, if he turns up. Oh, there you are, he's a male, so he'll be turning up, let's hope. But this is
and
the
you've
second.
You picked this male?
Pardon?
I made a suggestion for our next interviewee, but you.
Who was it?
Father Bob Maguire.
Yes, that's good, Don. Well, did you ring him and say, could you come on the podcast?
No, because I run all my suggestions past you and everything is canned.
No, what, did I can Bob Maguire, did I?
Yeah, oh, well, you just didn't.
No, I knew you wouldn't.
Went straight through to the keeper.
Oh, no, because I knew you wouldn't follow up, so I thought I'll get one in the pipeline just in case you don't follow up. And lo and behold,
you
haven't followed up.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
So
thank
this
you.
Is this we decided we'd do the first about chat of the general community.
Yeah,
and this is about sport. But I did say, as we signed off the other one, you left me with this Josh Frydenberg.
Well, it's not sport, so why are we going down that?
Because I just didn't want you, the listener, I didn't want, in case.
You just
want
to put more shit
Dennis,
on me. No, you want
Dennis
to put
Wade is wandering through Horsham with the headphones on. I want Dennis to be cognizant of the fact that you mentioned Josh Frydenberg and then went on to some convoluted thing about people's businesses going bankrupt.
Yes,
so
the amnesty.
Go ahead, have another crack at it and I'll give you my answer if I can follow what the
question
is.
Well, there's an amnesty for those people or companies that are supposedly insolvent. And he was going to extend how much time they need. But I wonder when this extension is going to finish, seeing that COVID is continuing on, especially in Victoria.
COVID.
Is going on, the lockdown is continuing on for how long we don't know. So is he extending? So since March, he said this in early March, and now we're up to September, and we're getting to
October. So you think I'm being impertinent, or in your words, a smart ass, but I'm asking you this.
Better.
So, Don, if you've gone bankrupt or insolvent, what does it mean?
Well, you can continue trading, but it's a crime. But I think he's allowing a little bit of slack so that directors of insolvent companies can continue trading,
so
I suppose.
So Josh Frydenberg is allowing illegal business operations?
I think so.
I would think not. The government can't be seen to be giving the nod to trading illegally.
Well, they could trade out of it. A lot of companies could trade out of it if they were able to, but the situation is we're in lockdown and they're not able to trade out. So maybe there's an amnesty, and I wonder how long it's going to go for.
Okay. So sport-wise, do you think it's a good idea? We did say that we knew the grand final would be played in Brisbane, didn't we? We did say that.
Well, we did. That. So we had a prediction last week.
Because following your particular sign that people only pick up on what's going on in the community when they listen to the podcast, so the AFL would have heard us say, I'm sure the grand final will be played in Brisbane. And, of course, they said, we better do that because they spoke about it on the podcast. You cannot be serious. What do you think of that? That's a good trade-off.
I think it's a great move, and it just shows that there is some moral fibre at the AFL. I hope there wasn't too much money pass hands. I hope they did it for the right reasons.
And the night time, a good excuse for 7-2?
Well, it's a good excuse. It's an excuse. I hope it doesn't go that way because Saturday mornings and the lunches are a highlight in Melbourne, the lead-up to the afternoon game.
Yes, and
the night is an anti-climax. I understand that.
And the kiddies can't really go because they can't be out till 1 in the morning and trust being flick-knifed on the way home on the trains at midnights wherever they go to. So. But it'll be a good experiment and it'll be a good way to repay 7.
I don't think the rugby league is all that successful with regard to having their night grand final.
I think it's extremely successful.
Well,
it's
for television it may be, just for television.
Well, I've been to 3 of the night grand finals for the rugby and it's always been a full house.
Well, that grand final is always going to be a full house.
Well, you said that you're not sure if it's a good
idea.
Well,
I just don't know whether it's successful. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it is successful.
Well, could it be done better?
Sell out crowds and they have huge ratings. What else do you want?
Well, it could it be done in the afternoon and they have...
Of course it could be. It could be done in the morning,
that's
Don.
That's exactly right. They'd still get a crowd. They'd still get a crowd.
Well, of course, that's the point.
Are we allowed to let anything go like the rumour file on 3OW?
Are we allowed to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's well, is that a rhetorical question?
Well, there is a rumour going around that players of our era...
Yes.
We played in the 60s, 70s and 80s.
Yes.
...are very upset with their club in the AFL and...
What?
There's a group of players in our era, which we covered, the yes. 60s, 70s and 80s, are very upset with their club and the AFL and...
About it, what?
About an article that was written recently, and that's all I'm going to say. Oh. A letter is going, so watch this space.
Don.
Watch this space.
Seriously, man. You just said...
There's a rumour.
There's a rumour going around that people like us in the 60s...
No, from our era.
Like us. 60s, 70s and 80s footballers are very upset about a letter going round and you said that's all I can say.
No, 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 not about a letter. They've written a letter.
They've written a letter.
Yes, to their particular club. Yes. Or it's in the process of being constructed right now and also the AFL.
So...
You're not going to pump any more. I've said enough.
I'm not going to pump any more.
I'm not going
to... What did you put your hand up for, Rocket?
Because I don't know where this is going.
Well, I just want to preempt...
That's what I... What?
I'm a little bit nervous.
You're nervous? Rod, you don't know where it's going. That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's why I'm being very evasive. Well, he's nervous. He's probably more than nervous.
Let me ask you some questions that won't
get
us...
That's
so
it.
Is it about...
Nothing. That's all. Let's move on to the next subject. So Novak Djokovic.
You started to say Novak there's a group of players who are constructing a letter and they're upset and they're writing it
with
to the
their
AFL
club and their
with
AFL.
Their club.
Yes.
Is it to do with injuries? No, compensation?
I'm not
is
saying
it do
anymore. It's for you to work out and we'll see if it...
Who's writing the letter?
We'll see if it becomes a
Who's
reality.
Who's writing the letter? Ex-players.
Yes, an ex-player.
An ex-player?
Yes.
From where?
Not saying.
And he's going to write about what?
He just needs the backing of his teammates of that era. Of those eras, I should say, 60s, 70s and 80s. Okay, let's just watch the space.
Jesus. All right, so the great chat at the minute, of course, is... Novak Djokovic, who hit a ball and hit a woman umpire, bad luck, hit her, who dropped down like a rock. And
Do you think, was it a deflection off the chair that
no,
she was sitting on?
I don't
it came,
think so.
Well, I think thought I saw...
So did I. And I asked Rocket Rod... I said, I thought that deflected. It didn't deflect.
Well, that's what I thought too.
Yes, well, we must have seen a different thing. I don't know. But it hit her in the throat.
Yeah.
And she dropped down and I thought, reminiscent of some of the goal umpires back in the 60s and 70s when the balls hit them on the top of the head and they've dropped down and had the stretch at what?
Remember when the guy got his
I think his name was Steve Stevenson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that his name?
Like shot. He looked like...
Oh, gee, he put on an act.
Anyhow,
I hope he's...
So we feel for the woman, but I reckon probably she overdid it.
Well, we don't know.
No, we don't know.
We don't know. But I was more interested in Djokovic in his reaction, and I didn't think there was any malice in what he did.
Of course there wasn't.
It was just an act of frustration. You shouldn't do it in any shape.
So he got...
You shouldn't have done what he did. So and as soon as you do hit an umpire with the ball, you're out.
Yes.
But
well,
there was no malice in what he did. I thought it was just a half-hearted action. There was no real
intent.
And he's
paid the ultimate penalty. It's cost him $4 million.
Well, that's his problem. He should never have done it.
Well, you see, other people belting balls round into the roof and throwing rackets and...
But that's they didn't hit an umpire. If you hit any...
I know, but if...
There was an Englishman. Wasn't there an Englishman who did the same to a chair umpire?
Yep, and he just got fined.
Did he get... Only... Is that all?
Yes.
Really?
I don't think he got cancelled.
I thought he got rubbed out. Okay.
Anyhow, we thought you should judge things on its merits, and just because it's a hard and fast rule, if it's deliberate.
What about patent place in football?
Hmm?
What about patent place in football? Richmond Football Club. The players that have been sent home. I just wonder how many players.
Mr. Stack and Mr. Coleman Jones.
Have they just been singled out? I wonder how many of the 800 players that are in lockdown have got out and done exactly what these boys have done and haven't been caught.
Gone to a strip club?
No, bought kebabs.
Well, out till 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you got 800 players out there, young boys, and how can you control 800 young boys?
How can you control 800 young boys?
Yes,
I tell you, I tell you how you control them. You have the people who run the club say, "These are the rules, boys. We're up here for a reason, and we've uprooted your family and you, and we're in a hub up here, and you're playing football and you're getting $500,000 a year to play, and if you wander out and break any of these rules, I tell you what, we hope the police will come and put you in prison."
So you were read this edict from Geelong when you went on end of the season trips as well?
That went on an end-of-season trip.
What was that, Don?
Well, when you went on your end-of-season trips as representatives of Australian Rules and the Geelong Football Club, you were read that edict by your officials at Geelong, and that stopped you playing up?
Well, I tell you what...
You swinging over the decks of the boat?
Unfortunately, or fortunately in those days, Don, a disease called the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus wasn't sweeping the world as a pandemic and threatening the life.
Excuse.
Why do you insist?
Of course it's an excuse. No, that's the reason that they are up there and have been in a hub because of this pandemic. There was
I just posed the question, how many other boys have got away with this?
Well,
two have been caught and singled out.
Only because they're fighting out the front of this
strip
club.
Well, there was a fight and consequently
people
have got...
How's the strip club open for a start?
Well, I can't relate to why they'd even be out till 3 o'clock as professional athletes. Why would you even be out till 3 o'clock?
Where are the hierarchy of the football clubs that would not drive this home to those boys or men and say, if you're thinking of doing anything like that, if you're thinking of doing it, can we advise you? It is extraordinary that it wouldn't have been driven home so pertinently that no one would even think of doing that. They're paying lip service to it. We've got half the AFL have gotten a plane and gone up there. We've got broadcasters going up there. How does they not impress on their flock, on their players, that they should reinforce that every single day?
And why would Richmond as a club be singled out? Surely the other clubs have got just as many problems?
I have no idea, Donald, but they now are not even asking the players to pay the fine. The club's paying the fine. I mean, it's just, honestly, it's just lip service to a thing. They've got the world at their feet. If someone said, how lucky are they to be playing up there in the first place, lolling about on the beach?
You get no argument from me, but we've all been in football clubs and we know how young men react and act and...
But the difference is the pandemic.
I'm not making excuses for them, but...
You are.
I'm not.
Well, you were saying that I used to go on football trips and climb over the side of ships. That has nothing to do with it. The risk of what you do is the pandemic, and that's why they're up there locked down, because they're not in this state, because this government here has completely... ballsed up what's going on down here. We've lost the Grand Prix, we've lost the AFL, we've lost the NRL, we'll lose the Spring Racing Carnival, we'll probably lose the Australian Open in January. That's why they're up there, because those other states have acted responsibly. And so they've taken us in, the AFL crowd, they've taken them in there. Why wouldn't the hierarchy of all the football clubs up there in the hub say to their players and just say it as straight as they can? How would they even think of doing that?
You get no argument
getting
from me.
Getting vaginal fluids flowing over them while they're at strip clubs.
Oh.
If you could take any credence from that article that we read out last week.
No.
About...
Now, listen, talking about last week and just getting on to another subject, I went away last week and I didn't understand something. Can you please explain, because you're a devotee, obviously, because you and Mick Hone were talking about Formula One racing.
Yes.
And I didn't understand, and I should have asked at the time, and I suppose there's other people out there in my... You said it's computerised. Formula One racing is computerised, or they cannot pass, or... And I do not understand what you're talking about.
Well, the cars are the cars. The F1 cars are so managed now by computerised...
Well, who controls the computer?
Well, the crew.
Pit crew.
No, the drivers do, but if you ever look at the steering wheel of a F1 car, it has got about 50 buttons on it, and they can press a button, whereas people like Ayrton Senna and Michael Schumacher used to change gears on the car.
Yes,
and
I understand.
They didn't have traction control.
Well, why can't they pass? Why can't they race like they used to? You said they once they're in a position, that's where they stay. Or
generally speaking, because they are now half electric and half engine cars. They're not normally aspirated engines, and it is just technically driven on. If you buy a car today, when you go and get it serviced,
but why isn't there the racing component in it? So you're saying that actual racing is not in Formula One.
The racing is in it, but the cars are much easier to drive. They're going much quicker, but they're much easier to drive now because they're all regulated by a computer chip to a certain degree.
So would...
It's like if you buy a car
could
now...
Could I assume that the races are won by the fastest lap in, what do they call it, in the...
Qualifying.
Qualifying.
Yes.
So if you get a... front podium position...
You're a winner.
You've won the race.
Yes.
So the race is determined before the race is even has started.
Well, more or less. So the Mercedes, for the last 7 years, have been... their two cars, Bottas's car and Hamilton's car, their Mercedes, they're on one and two on the grid every week, and either one of those two people win. Now, Hamilton didn't win last week because... He went into the pits after the safety car came out.
Now, I was going to say about the pits, but go on.
He went into the pits after the safety car came out when he shouldn't have. There was a red flag or a red cross up saying you're not allowed to enter the pits, but he didn't see that, he says, and he went in and got penalised, a stop-go penalty, which put him at the back of the field when the race started, and he didn't have enough time to catch up. So it was a technicality that lost him the race.
Okay, now, I was thinking through the week... If you cannot pass on the actual circuit, can you win or lose the race or gain a position in the pits?
Absolutely. So
it comes back to the efficiency of your pit crew?
Yes. So a good pit stop is about 1.9 or 2 seconds. Can you think of that to change four wheels?
Hang on, 1.9.
Or 2 seconds. Like you count to two, one, two, they've changed four wheels.
Really?
In under 2 seconds is a great pit stop. And if it takes you
Hang on. So when they come into a pit stop, what do they actually do?
Change tyres.
Is that all? Refuel?
No.
They don't refuel.
That's why it's become just... It's like driving slot cars.
They carry enough fuel for the whole race.
They carry about 110 litres, which is the equivalent of... probably a very heavy person sitting next to you in a car, and therefore the fastest lap of a Grand Prix is always at the end of it when the fuel load is lightest. So they come in, they change the tyres in probably 2 seconds, and if you take 2.5 seconds, that's just half a second longer, that is 0.5 of a second, you can get passed in the pits by three cars who get in and out.
So these cars are really fuel efficient.
They're fuel efficient because half of them, they're battery powered. A third of the engine is battery powered. Oh. So that's why they don't refuel them. Because if they had to refuel, if they didn't have batteries, they would have had to carry so much fuel they wouldn't have big enough tanks on the car and they'd be too dangerous. But they used to refuel them in the pits.
Too dangerous, why?
Because you'd have, if the car, because if you had 220 20 litres of fuel in a car. If it had a crash, it would just explode.
Okay, but you still carry 100 litres and come back and refuel, couldn't you? No,
you could come back and refuel, but they said it was a dangerous activity refueling cars in the pits because some of them caught fire and some of them... And that seemed to be the risk of...
What is the point of Formula One racing?
Well, it used to be a great...
No, the point of it now.
The point of it now is to show how clever they are by having engine and battery cars going round at extraordinary speeds and having the aerodynamics keep the cars... The average speed of the... The average speed of the Italian Grand Prix last week was 164 miles an hour. So they were doing 240 miles an hour down the straight, and by the time they go through all the turns and curves and S's and chicanes, it's 164 average speed, which is extraordinary.
And the computer is actually doing the turning, the braking, and all of that.
No, it's not doing the. No, but it's not. But it. It regulates the ride height of the car by them pressing... The ride height, yeah.
I'm not into motor sport, as you can guess. So this height of the car,
they can
up and down as you go around corners down the straight or whatever.
The driver can manipulate the... a whole lot of different variations on the car by all the buttons on the steering wheel. So it's become like a computer game, but they do have to drive the car and they do have to have some judgment about when they pass because the back half of the field are so evenly matched speed-wise and performance-wise, but the Mercedes cars are head and shoulders above the rest and it becomes a farce, except when there's a... a breach by...
So what's pure racing in racing parlance racing? You've got motorbikes and you've got cars. Well,
this is why we had Mick Hone in. The preeminent race motorsport at the minute is MotoGP, without a doubt. And then MotoGP, that's the bikes. The bikes that we were talking about, which I said were...
They're not computerised.
No, they're not. They ride them. They ride them at 240 miles an hour down a straight. Can you believe that? Then probably NASCAR is where they go round and round.
Circle,
That's actually they change gears and they get to drive the cars. They drive them round at 200 miles an hour around an oval circuit. So that's pretty straight driving. Got to be very skillful with that. Then you have IndyCar, which is faster again. That's just open wheel cars.
Going on the same circuit?
Yes, around an oval, second tier down, and they just go and go and go. So, but Formula One has decided that
What about saloon car racing in Australia?
No, they're very good drivers because they're just V8. They're normally aspirated V8 engines, whether they be Holdens or General Motors cars or Mustangs or Nissan, I think, is still do it. But they drive them and they change gears, but they change their they don't change them with a clutch now. They change them with a
lever, isn't it?
Yeah, they're called
like an automatic.
Sequential gears. They just push a thing. There's no clutch.
It's almost like a motorbike.
Yeah. So the Formula One have decided that they'll be the showcase of what's smart and efficient and great. We'll put batteries because this is the way motor driving is going. Putting batteries and engines and just showing them how clever they are. And they've ruined the franchise as a result of it because the noise was the great part of Formula One, and actually having to drive the car was part of Formula One, but now it's become a farce, in my opinion, Donald. So Mick Hone, it was very interesting last week, and today, the 8th, is the anniversary. Remember he spoke about Peter Brock? He sat next to him in the car. Today
yes,
is the 2006, to this day, on this day, Peter Brock lost his life. So it's the anniversary, the 14th, obviously. 14th?
No, the 8th. 20th.
The what?
It's the 8th.
No.
Oh, the year?
Yeah.
04.
06, wasn't he?
06, yeah, sorry, 14 years ago, yeah, 06.
So it's 14 years ago to the day.
And Spud anniversary tomorrow.
Yes, and I was going to mention that. Danny Frawley lost his life.
12 months ago.
So I see we mentioned, Lionel Messi has thrown South Australian soccer into turmoil. He's re-signed with Barcelona.
Well, I'd like to know why he wanted to resign in the first place. That hasn't come out, or maybe, I haven't seen it.
Well, instead of getting $200 million a year to play, maybe he was after $250 million, and that has thrown a spanner in the works of the South Australian Soccer Club.
At least they're having a go and doing something innovative.
Of course, they dipped a toe in the water, said, would you like to come over and live at... live over
Taylor's here. Lakes? No, it's not Taylor's Lakes. What is it called?
No, not Taylor's Lakes. Lakeside or somewhere. Norwood. Come in West Lakes. Live in Norwood or West Lakes. You can get the tram up to have a pizza up at into the city of churches. Bring your family over. It'd be great for you because you can go to the beach there. And Lionel said, look, thanks so much for the invitation, but I'm going to stay at Barcelona and probably earn another 250 mil this year, and then I might come over for a visit one day. So thanks a lot to the Adelaide. So it was a great initiative of theirs, but probably was never going to happen, but you can never tell.
Why hasn't the one-day series or the 220 series been shown on free-to-air television?
Aren't they having a dispute about the rights?
Footage, but I thought it might have been shown on Channel 7. Well, they've got the rights for cricket, but why isn't the English series being shown?
This is like ultra crepitarian. This is speaking about things we actually don't really know about. But I think
I'm just posing a question because I'm interested. I watch grabs of it, but I'd like to watch
the rights been bought by Foxtel. So that's where you've got
So they've really segregated this game. If they travel overseas, someone else is the broadcaster.
Now, you've got to have pay TV to watch it. That's not free to air.
Separate broadcasters. Channel 9 had free to air, and when they were touring, it was relayed back through Channel 9.
Yeah, and they've relinquished that.
I understand Channel 9, but Channel 7 have got the cricket, so they've put it into segments. So if there's an overseas tour you're going to England, Foxtel, there's different rights. Yep. So the rights have been split over a number of different areas, like 220, one dayers and
international. But overseas, international tours have always been separate. You have to buy it off the home, the ECB. So if it's played in England, you have to buy the rights off the English Cricket Board. You don't buy them
So
off
nobody has bought those rights in Australia?
Yeah, Foxtel have. So they're not part of the anti-siphoning list, only when they play here.
So the AFL have... Now, just tell me I can understand why they've got to look to be being responsible, but if you can play football, 36 players on a field at once, banging and clashing into one another and tackling and sweating on another and expectorating and brawling, why they've banned Mad Monday... The AFL have banned clubs from celebrating Mad Monday, those clubs that are in the hub. So why can't, if you can join together in a football game and knock into one another, why can't you go out and celebrate the end of the year at the Crazy Horse Strip Club up in Sydney, up in Queensland? What is the difference between getting together and having a few drinks for Mad Monday as opposed to actually playing football and contacting one another? Do you think that's reasonable, Donald, or is it just showing some responsibility for the rest of the community that's not allowed to do it?
Well, I haven't got a comment on that because we had to work on Mondays in our day, so we never got that opportunity to celebrate or get together as a group after. So I suppose I can't see the point of Mad Monday myself, but these guys are in a different
situation. It's an excuse to go out there and get...
Well, it is. It is an excuse to go out and...
get drug fucked.
Well, all of that, but that's an individual thing, isn't it?
Of course it is. I don't think you want to do it. I don't think it's an edict by the AFL that you've got to go out and get drug fucked. But I think... Now, tell me, this will devastate you. I know the AFL Grand Final Powderfinger, you're familiar
with
them?
Did they get an invitation?
They got an invitation. They said, thank you so much, but we're not going to do it. Is that disappointed you? Do you know any Powderfinger's greatest hits?
I know all about Powderfinger, but obviously I think there's maybe it might have... I thought they were getting together to do a tour. I may be wrong, but maybe it could have added...
A virtual tour? Because no one's allowed to go to any venues at this stage, are they?
Yeah, they have reformed. There's been a bit of publicity about it.
You got any Powderfinger favourites?
No. Mm.
Bernard
Fanning, I think, is the lead singer, isn't it?
Yes. What grand final entertainment would you put on at night time?
Well, I don't think our game is conducive to entertainment. The arena is too big. It's a little bit different with the NFL or soccer. It's a smaller pitch, and so consequently you can fill it up. The Americans do a good job at it at half time.
Yes.
It must be a logistical nightmare doing what they do at half time in America when they get the stars to play. But our game, I don't think, really lends itself because of the great expanse of the ground. You've got to fill that ground up, that playing area up.
There's not enough time at half time.
But even prior to the game or after. They're doing it after the game now, and they move the stage. I've been to the MCG when I think it was U2 played there, and they put the stage halfway across. You sit in the stand and watch, and maybe you can do it after the game, but it's a big area to fill.
So these were my two great suggestions I've had for a number of years about grand final entertainment at halftime. A bit simplistic and a bit countrified. What about you put four makeshift greens, golf greens, one in each goal square and one on each side of the wings, and you had the best Australian golfers, men and women, for charity, hit balls onto the green, so they'd have to hit a 180-yard shot from one end to the other, and across the ground they'd have to hit a 140-50-yard shot and see if they could land them on the green for charity, or, wait for this, Donald.
Riveting, Don.
No, so get...
Well, no, you've got to have an open mind. I'm listening.
Why don't we get Norman Yem to do the 400 metre?
So there we are. So, or have...
Actually, I didn't mind that 400 metre race in the VFA at half time.
Don,
the back markers, was something a little different.
Don, this is my next suggestion.
And they ran it in the mud as well. I mean, those grounds.
Don,
you couldn't. The footballers couldn't keep their feet. These 400 metre runners were running
around. Sides that aren't in the grand final or in the finals. That's eight of them. They have the football athletics. They have a 100 metre dash or a 400 metre run for charity for. So your side's not in the finals, but you can watch one of its representatives run against another, either in a 100-metre sprint or a 400-metre run at half-time to keep those people who don't have a side's interest in the finals, you can watch one of your teammates' best athletes compete. So either golf or running, just for the... the 30 minutes break that we have.
Darts. You're being stupid now, but no, I don't mind your ideas. I think they're open for discussion. They should be open for discussion. You could add a lot to it. Why can't the players?
Wouldn't you just like to see Mark Leishman?
Coits?
You could take this a bit further and
Minji Lee. Wouldn't you like to see Minji Lee? Wouldn't you like to see Minji Lee hit a ball? She's.
I was just going to say, is Minji Lee he or she?
I mean, Minji Lee is a top Australian golfer doing very well on the tour overseas.
He or she? Male or female?
Minji Lee is a woman.
Okay. Well, why couldn't you play? Why couldn't the men compete against the women in your proposed golf thing
at
half time?
That's what I'm saying to you for charity. Someone put up 100 grand to your best charity. Have Mark Leishman. Jason Day probably wouldn't come out, but because they've got to be here for a start, and that's the problem, getting here and going to quarantine. You'd have to have people who are already in the country. How about golfers? We have great Australian rules golfers and NRL golfers. They're very good golfers. You could have them hit balls for a charity. Just something that keeps those people whose teams aren't in the finals interested.
What's wrong with the sprint? What was wrong with the sprint?
I said that. I said you said what about quoits or darts? I said a sprint or a 100 meter or a 400 meter run of your sides and your jumper running round on them.
They could have a goal kicking competition. They could do a lot of things, couldn't they?
The goal kicking competition is
they have the dunk in the NBL.
Yes, the goal kicking competition is probably not as conducive because only one end of the ground gets the action. But if you had a 100 meter sprint or a 400 or a golf tournament with local footballers hitting the golf, because there's some very good golfers that play off scratch and 1 and 2 handicaps playing football. So anyhow, that was just my suggestion. Seeing as powder finger can't come.
You didn't watch the netball on the weekend?
No, but tell us all about the netball, would you?
Well, I just don't understand why it doesn't get more publicity in our papers. If they could get some more exposure, we get to know the players a little better. They're trying to do pen picks during the show. They're in a hub as well up in Queensland. And
they've been going to any strip clubs of any of the girls?
The ladies behave themselves. It's interesting, that, isn't it?
But they probably wouldn't want to go and watch other ladies taking their clothes off. They'd like to go to stag clubs.
Well, we don't know what we don't know what the ladies are doing, but I think that should get more exposure than what it does, especially in the printed media, so we could become a little more familiar. I think it's a great game, and it's a women's game.
Well, there we are. So anything else going on in sport, Donald? So is there anything else going on in sport? Do you know who we didn't mention as... I think he's still playing. Is Wayne Gretzky still playing...
Ice hockey?
Yeah, up until about 20 years ago.
And do you know who Wayne Gretzky is the father of? What's his name?
Gretzky.
You know who Wayne Gretzky is the father of?
Billy Gretzky.
No, he's the father of Dustin Johnson's... fiance.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Dustin Johnson is the number one golfer in the world.
Right.
And he is going out with Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
Daughter, okay.
And Wayne Gretzky made a fantastic comment when he found out that his daughter was going out with Dustin Johnson. He said, "Well, there's karma. Two of the dumbest people in the world I know going out with one another." That's what he said. Google that, about his rocket.
His daughter.
Yeah, he said two of the dumbest people going out with one another. Google that, please. What did Wayne Gretzky say when he found out about Dustin Johnson going out with his daughter? I hope that's right. Maybe I've made that up. Someone told me that. So while Rocket Rod is looking that up, what else, Donald? This is your idea of going for an extra half hour speaking about sport. After we've done Richmond, the grand final and Djokovic, you're found wanting. No, you did the netball. Your netball.
Well, they're the only sports that are on at the moment, and your your motor racing. What else is on?
The
Americans have gone on the Americans have gone on
strike.
Do you
know the most skillful, whether you call this a sport or not,
tell me about the darts, please.
Well, no,
it's
not
like
the darts.
Watching paint dry. Yeah.
Do you know
they get a huge crowd, don't they?
Do you know
they?
This most skillful ball sport in the world probably is what? Billiards. You ever watch them play?
Mm.
They're extraordinary, Donald. That is the sign of an ill-spent youth being a great billiard player. Imagine sitting in a pool hall all your life perfecting those shots. But they do. They're extraordinary. Billiards. I watch the billiards.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's again like watching paint dry.
Well, it's just recognizing
what skill?
Yeah. The only
See, we've all got different appreciations of different aspects of sport, haven't
we? The only person in the world who's ever had the rules changed in a sport
Walter Lindrum
because he was so good.
And he had his billiard parlor just up here in Flinders Lane, which was just
Lindrum's.
Lindrum's just up from the Herald Sun building.
How'd we go with Wayne Gretzky?
No, it's not there.
What, it's not that he goes out with
his
daughter?
Oh, no, she does. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
And
but
it didn't
there's
say
no,
two
no
of
mention
dumbest
of a beach
people in the world?
No.
Hey?
No.
All right, well, I'm sure he said that. I'm sure he said that, Donald. Any Cheerios you'd like to give? I'll give you an if. Just an if, just to fill in
Don't make it embarrassing.
Well, Don, it's not embarrassing. It's your answer. If I can find the question... okay, so just let me find it here. Oh, yeah. If you, I might have done this, but tell me if I have. If you could have the autograph of one person from one person, if you could have one person's autograph, who would it be? Out of now, we've just got. Read this out, Rocket, please. Doug, this is Doug Scott. Come, Doug. Here,
Doug.
Into here, please. What's it, read out what you're saying.
The quote is, he said that he never thought he'd ever meet someone as dumb as his daughter, Paulina, until he met Dustin.
Well, thank you. Well,
Don.
I knew I was...
is that his daughter?
Yeah.
Gets a look. Yeah. So that's fantastic. Well done, Doug. I tell you, I say these things, and we get off air, we get off this podcast, and they say, you make half this fucking stuff up.
Well,
right?
You do.
Yeah, in your strip club.
The strip club was actually the strip club about vaginal fluids being sprayed onto the audience. That came from a source which...
was unreliable.
Which was unreliable. I did say, you said to me, is this true? I said, probably not. I did say that. But I said, that's good. I didn't think I'd find anyone dumber than my daughter. Or what was it again? Fantastic. I knew he said that. That's Dustin Johnson. Now, if you could have an autograph from anyone, history or...
These, I find the...
Well, whose autograph would you like?
Shears.
Oh, that's not the first time you've mentioned her.
I know, I'm infatuated.
So you wouldn't want the Pope's or the Queen Elizabeth II? Hitler?
No.
Hitler's?
No.
No, don't.
Maybe
don't
Hannibal. Maybe Hannibal.
Hannibal? Yeah. Please if don't. Please alive. Don't let people have letters or get belted for saying Hitler. Just think about why, not because.
Genghis Khan. When you look
there,
at
you
it.
Are.
Jesus.
Gandhi.
Just a.
Jesus H. Christ.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Put him on your double coat.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? I'll give you another one. Go on, speak.
Well, come on, just anything at random there. You didn't tell me who you'd like. Who's your autograph?
Hitler.
Really?
Not because
I thought it'd be Jack Nicklaus. Oh, you've already got
I've
his.
Got Jack Nicklaus's.
I know.
Not Hitler, not because...
How did you get that?
He stood in a queue with everybody else and he waited his time. He was very, very patient. Waited for a long time because he wasn't up the front, but he was just like all and sundry. Sydney, wasn't it? Or was
you're
it
telling it.
No, I'm yep, asking
no,
now.
No, that's true.
Sydney.
But, of course, Sydney. I did get it when I interviewed him for the
Excuse
opening.
Excuse me. Did you fly to Sydney to get it?
Not to get it. I went to watch him play.
Play, but you stood. It was in Sydney where
yes,
you got the autograph.
Yes, and I then got it.
And
some
he holds him in such esteem that he named his first son after Jack Nicklaus.
Well, I called him Jack. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call their sons Jack. Anyhow... thank you, Don. That's not just that's not far from the truth.
Not
far from the truth. I did get Jack's autograph when I interviewed him.
And you did
him.
Stand in the queue with the rest and all
gonna,
of a sudden.
Finish. I'm going to get this out if it kills me. I did get Jack's autograph. No, you're not going to interrupt again. I did get Jack's autograph when I interviewed him when he came out and turned the first sod at the Heritage Golf Club up in... where is that up in...
Yeah, Croydon, Wonga
Croydon,
Park.
Croydon, Wonga Park.
Yes.
Yes. So but I did get it there one-on-one because I got on
but
very
I
well
But I thought you...
Go okay. on, Don. What's
well,
that?
Well, I thought you stood in the queue.
I did. I've said that's not far from the truth. I did say that. So Hitler, not because I was enamoured with him, but just because exactly the opposite. Just most disgraceful human being. Wouldn't you like to have that just there as a... so what else? Go on, ask another question.
Well, you've got the book
yeah,
and you've got them all marked, so just
I've
come
got
on.
I've got the mark to ask the question.
Okay, we'll go. Don't swear.
If you had to sell your soul... No, that's not right.
Done that.
Have we?
No,
if you could visit one more place in the world that you have never been... No, that's not
okay. Okay.
Go on.
Croatia.
If you could visit one more place in the world that you have never been, where would you go for the final voyage?
Croatia, south of France, and they tell me the best city in Europe is Leningrad. So I'd like to go and see Leningrad.
What about that place you're meant to go with, Doug?
Where?
When you got it wrong.
What, Lucerne or Lausanne?
Well, whichever one you didn't get to.
Well, Yes, I must admit I've.
So, this bloke who was going on a who was going on a cruise with his loved one, he said instead
this
of
this or a bloke,
these couple, they were French, Pierre and his
Michelle.
They were on the cruise and they said, look, it'd be fantastic just for because it's a great thing to do. Let's just, if we want to ever have sex, let's just not say, do you want to have sex? Just let's say, try and make it interesting and a bit diverse and lateral and say, I'll say to you, is the ship sailing? And when it means you're about to climax, I'll ask you, I'll keep saying, is the ship sailing yet? And you can say, when it is about to sail, it will mean you're about to climax. So Pierre's in the rack in the bunk with the ship's about to pull out of dock. And he's giving her a nice thing too. And he said, Marie, her name was Marie.
Marie,
he said.
I thought it was Michelle.
No, it was Marie. Pierre said to her, he said, Marie, he's working, slaving away, grinding. And he said, is the ship sailing yet, Marie? And she said, no, Pierre, keep going, please keep going, I'm nearly there. And he's start to sweat and he's, Marie, please, is the ship sailing yet? No, Pierre, just one more minute, please. And he said, Marie, for God, is the ship sailing yet? She said, no, Pierre. He said, well, fuck you, bon voyage.
Open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe. I spoke to your mom and